On the Wire, in association with Ladbrokes.
You are welcome to On the Wire in association with Ladbrokes. We are looking forward to one of the most historic races on the Irish calendar, and that is Monday's Irish Grand National from Ferry House. The first renewal was won, I think, around 150 years ago, give or take, by Sir Robert Peel, who's going to win the 2024 renewal. And to help us out in terms of figuring out who will be the winner, we have the Irish Fields' Mark Boylan and our own Racing TV's Don McLean. And we have a fantastic, fantastic renewal of the race, but as well as that, the undercard is just sizzling with class and entertainment as well. It's all ahead. We have there he is, Mark Boylan and Don McLean. It's just the three of us today, so we're gonna cut to the chase fairly shortly, and it is a hell of a chase this year. But lads, let's start with Cheltenham. How was Cheltenham for you, Mark?
Yeah, enjoyed it, Johnny. Look at it. I know it's not perfect, and you're not going to claim that everything is as you'd like it, but to me, it's still delivered on a few different levels. And I think the Wednesday in particular, while it was maybe a low-key day, maybe in terms of atmosphere of the four over there, I just thought seeing Ballyburn really, really rout them. And even having stood in the same position and watched a lot of races during the week, himself and Factifier were the only two that you could really see go up and hit the pull-up boards hard. And I thought it was awesome from the two of them, particularly on Ballyburn. And look, it's the excitement of it that leaves you waiting for next year. But, Gold Cup really delivered as well for me. I thought it was a spectacle for all the faster slow. It was disappointing we didn't get to see him in the heat of battle late on. But technically he was there, but he wasn't really. But look, it was. I really enjoyed it anyway, Johnny. I know there's things you would tweak, and it's obviously a shame to lose the cross country. But overall, I did enjoy it. How about you?
I found it a troubling Cheltenham, to be honest. Just the small fields, the Wednesday, the cross country being lost, three odds on shots in the three grade run races on the Wednesday, for me was problematic. I think the mayor's races have no place in the festival at all anymore. I think they've diluted it to death. And obviously the Willie Mullins dominance. We had Tom Segal in the Racing Post talk about maybe Willie Mullins didn't fare as well as he could have, that the British actually fared well. And a British tally of nine wasn't too bad. But I suppose, Don, the one thing that you would take out of the whole response to the 4 days is that there's been a lot of conversation about where Cheltenham is going, and that can only be a good thing.
Yeah, that's a good thing, Johnny. Interesting, Chris Cook in the Racing Post today, he's saying that, I don't know if you've read that, it's kind of moved on a bit and it's kind of gone quiet about Cheltenham, which is fine because that season's upon us. But what Chris says, and I agree, it's important that they don't just move on without doing anything. They need to have a look at it. You know, like the average field size down to 13.4, the lowest for a long time since it moved to 4 days. That's it. It's the foal population is down, population of horses is down. So, and you know, I'm sure these things are cyclical, like, you know, one trainer dominating is probably cyclical as well, but they need to have a look at it, you know. And like, everyone's had their say, and the number of races, there are too many races now for the horses that we have, for the level of competition that is there. And you know, you kind of go, what if let's say the mayor's hurdle wasn't there, Lossiemouth would have been the champion hurdle, etc. So there's all of that. So you want to make it as competitive as possible, and if you take away a couple of races, then you funnel the same horses into a smaller number of races. And of course, that's going to increase the level of competition. But like, I agree with Mark as well. It's Cheltenham. It was a great meeting. The best horses were there. Best jockeys, best trainers, trained in the minute for the best races. So, and there were those standout performances and lots to look forward to with those novices, you know, where they're going to go next, please God. But
Can I come in on that? Because we have this kind of remarkable development now where Kevin Coleman has developed an alliance with Harry Redknapp for a horse that's running on the all-weather in the next few days. And the Harry Redknapp and Sir Alex Ferguson aspect, I thought, was massive for Cheltenham in the sense that this is what we need. We need these big owners in Britain. But where are they? You look at the national entries, the entry national entries, and the top horses in the top 40 or odd. There's very, very few English horses left.
Everyone's said it, you know, that a lot of the Irish trained horses are owned by English owners, and that's the way it is at the moment. Brilliant, as you say, Harry Redknapp, Alex Ferguson, brilliant for racing, and like the Harry Redknapp factor, check him up, Harry, that was great. And actually, the that day there were only two Irish trained winners on the Thursday, were five British trend winners, and that was important. Look, Dan Skelton and Harry Skelton, they had a great meeting, obviously. So, you know, it's good that they did. That was important, I thought, on the Thursday, that there were those British winners in order to retain the
I was literally cheering on British winners on the Thursday, because it's not good for racing at all.
No, it's not. And like, I grew up wee bit before you, Johnny, and you, Mark, but you're probably the same, though. I grew up, there weren't many Irish trained winners. Every Irish winner was to be celebrated, and it was brilliant. And, you know, even people got a kick out of a number of Irish trained winners. I remember when Fisher Seal won the whatever the gold card final, there were six Irish trained winners that year, and that was phenomenal to have six Irish trained winners. But now there's so many Irish, like you want to win Irish horses to do well. There's no point in doing well if there's no competition against them. So you want the competition as well. And that works on both sides, I think. Like British trainers or British racing needs the Irish, but the Irish racing needs British as well. So it's the competition. That for me, that's the draw.
Briefly on this, Mark, I mean, should there be, we've all these ideas of how to help racing in general, national hunt racing, but should there be maybe an effort in Britain to encourage more owners like Sir Alex and Harry Redknapp? For me, it was unquantifiable the good this did for racing to see them enjoying it and what they told their mates then in football.
Yeah, I think that's the huge takeaway. If you're looking for a positive out of the week, that was one of the very, very main ones. The one thing I'd say, Johnny, did any of it surprise you? It didn't surprise me that I thought it was going to be stronger. That's why, you know, for all that, I think that, you know, there's obviously issues. I think that Britain actually fared relatively well considering the overall landscape. The concern I'd have for that dynamic of racing is that every week they're trying to drum up to what you're going to see on a Saturday on racing TV, on ITV, is really, really quality stuff. But when you get to the crunch and actually get to March and see that what has been billed the whole way through the year is not actually the very top end, I think that's where you get concerned for a sport in terms of interest every week. So to me, it comes down to horsepower. Obviously, there's an element of training too, but a high element of training and horsemanship and so on. And the system is good here in Ireland, but it will turn again. It will happen again. It will change. I don't think it's going to be anytime soon, but you only have to go back. I think 2014 was the first year of the Prestbury Cup. And even after Ireland had five of the first six winners on day one, Britain were 1-2 to win the Prestbury Cup. Like, that's only 10 years ago. I think they didn't lose it in the first couple of years. They might have drawn it or won it. I think the last eight, Ireland have won each of them. And, you know, it's nearly now turning into, as you said there, you know, you're cheering on British winners. You're hoping for the balance to be better. You're hoping, you know, that it isn't an absolute greenwash, because it does no favours for anybody. But I'd agree with you. In terms of exposure and media, when you get to see Harry Redknapp, you get to see Alex Ferguson on the front page of papers for the right reason. You know, it is good for the sport. But it's good when Willie Mullins got the 100 up, and that got proper headlines here at home too. Daily papers giving that a good going over as well. So look, at I agree with the premise what you're saying, John. It didn't shock me either. None of it was a surprise.
Don can relate to this. You know, I've been scheduled to racing TV meetings lately, and that's just been called off left, right, and centre. And we had a Goran race meeting called off over a week in advance. So we have real, real ground condition concerns in Ireland at the moment. So we are absolutely blessed that Ferry House is okay. And being in the sort of the northern half of the country has slightly avoided what the southern half has gotten, we'll say, in recent months. Ferry House is heavy, but it will be going ahead. They're fresh ground in the 3 days. And this is very, very important. Let's get to the action. Don, what a place to start. I am nothing if not a man of contradictions. I think mayor's races have no place at Cheltenham. Generally not a fan of them. Now, they were brought in to kind of encourage the purchase of mayors, and Willie's procurement of horses, I think, is actually probably not given enough credit, but it's worked very well in that instance. We saw the mayor at Cheltenham go to Henry de Bromhead in the sale for 420 grand or whatever it was. She was a looker. Is there a looker in the 235? The Irish Stallion Farms EBF Honeysuckle Mare's Novice Hurdle on Sunday. And I guess the first thing to say here about this race is, Don, we're going to have a big turnout.
We are. Yeah, there are 18 lookers. It's going to be a massive field. It's so competitive, and Brighter Days Ahead is not there, which is a pity, but it's still the quality is there. Jade DeGrugy, she's probably going to be favorite. That Mare's Novice Hurdle at Cheltenham, it was on for all that. I'm not sure that the winner wasn't the best filly in the race anyway. See, Golden Ace here coming up on the near side. They went no gallop early on. It didn't suit Brighter Days Ahead, it didn't suit Jade DeGrugy over on the far side in the Kenny Alexander colors. And she won her maiden over 2.5 miles. She won her grade three over 2.25 miles. And the early pace was just too slow. The finishing speed was 114%. I think Golden Ace's final furlong was the fastest final furlong of the entire meeting. for a novice. So look, and she's got that flat race speed. So she's obviously got talent gold mace, but you could see there Jade Grugy, like, she didn't have a huge amount of luck in running either on the run around the home turn. She kind of got shuffled back. She got caught for space, and in a slowly run race, it just made her task just so much more arduous than it even would have been, even with the clear run, even with the pace. But you can see Gold Mace beat them all for pace. Jade DeGrugy, you can give her another chance. One worry, just discussed with Mark there off air, it's quite a quick turnaround. It's only 17 days since Cheltenham. And while she didn't have a hard race, it's hard, you know, you go to a young horse going over to Cheltenham and coming back. She's only five. She's fairly inexperienced. You just don't know how much it will have taken out of her. But look, Paul Tanner has chosen to ride her. Fun is in the race as well. And she was a really good bumper mare last season for Willie Mullins. She won well at Nace last time on a grade three race that day. And Jatara's in there as well. I thought I thought she might do a wee bit better last time in the Nathaniel Lacey race at the Dublin Racing Festival. She finished third in the end behind Dancing City, but that was 2 miles, 6.5 for her. And she's back down and tripped to 2.5 today.
I think that's a bit harsh, Don, because like she was quite keen and a good race against the boys as well.
Yeah, oh no, absolutely. I just, you know, maybe it was just one of those races. But she wasn't beaten that far in the end. She came under a ride and she kept on. And she comes in there relatively fresh. She hasn't run since the Dublin Racing Festival. So she's probably going to be the freshest of them. And she's got four more. She won her maiden over the course and distance as well. So that's in her favour. But yeah, I think that Jade DeGrugy, there could be more to come from her. I'd give her another chance.
Yeah, Jade DeGrugy beat Looks to the West, the last day at Fairy House. That was in a grade three, but Look to the West had previously beaten Bioluminescence and will probably relish the stamina test. What's your take on it, Mark?
I like Bioluminescence as an each-way player, Johnny. I think with Jade DeGrugy, you're looking at 17 days of a turnaround. And for all, I'd absolutely echo completely what Dan said about the nature of the race at Cheltenham. It wasn't a gut buster for her, but she still had to travel over, travel back. And I remember firmly in my mind coming out of Fairy House last season, I just felt on a few occasions that those Cheltenham horses had not really brought their A game. And then you factor in that Cheltenham was running more testing ground in some instances than you would have expected. Fairy House is going to be testing ground. It was 24 days, I can remember Blood Destiny last year, 24, 25. Between him running in the Triumph and coming here and disappointing over Easter, and he just looked a horse that the run had taken it out of him. I even think, look at this race last year, and you have seven finishers, depending on pulled up or didn't complete, seven finishers, the second and third from the Mayor's Novice Hurdle at Cheltenham, Magic of Zoe and Halkett of Tabar. There were fifth and seven of the seven finishers. And even you go down through it further, you have Jatara, Princess Zoe pulled up, you know, didn't fire here. So I'm just approaching Jade DeGrugy with a degree of caution for all that. I think she is the best mare of these, and in the fullness of time, I think she'll be well ahead of them. But I just think Bioluminescence, I like the prep, I like the profile. I think she's looked to filly some potential for a fair bit of time. And you get the impression this type of ground won't be an issue, trip won't be an issue. I just think there's a lot going for her. And if I was to get an each-way price, as Don has pointed out, 18 runners, I think, I was trying to find out today, in advance of this, if there's been a grade one in Ireland that has had a bigger field than this, I can't, in recent memory, I can't think of one. I found a bumper in 2010 at Punchestown, a grade one that had 17, but an 18 runner grade one, it's not something you see too often, but I'd hope you might get a few extra places as a result, and Bioluminescence might be the one for me.
This is funny.
You had a few more runners that could have divided it.
Yeah. You know, it's funny now, they've stopped dividing races as much in Ireland because there isn't the financial incentive since the start of the year to do so, and you're wondering, like, there's actually kind of a change now when you have seven races instead of eight. But Don, this 18 runners is up there with the actual full field size for the jumps races on the Wednesday at Cheltenham. Like, there was basically six and maybe seven, but it was, and this is me giving out about mare's race. Okay, let's move on to the next grade one, which is the Willow Worm Gold Cup. This is a funny one as well, Don, because it falls in that bracket of you're between Punchestown, you're between Cheltenham with novice chasers who've had ample opportunities running similar races over the last while.
Yeah, but this has always been a race, I guess, before the 2.5 mile novices, grade one novices chase at Cheltenham. This was always a race that was targeted by these 2.5 mile horses, whatever the Ryanair Gold Cup, the Paris Gold Cup used to be. Yeah, I think Blood Destiny has had this on his radar for a little while, hasn't he? Since he won it now on the last day, and Spillane Star likewise. And look, it's a good rematch between the two of them. This is the race the last day at Navan when again they went a very slow pace in this race.
Can he reverse the form, Don?
Yeah, I think so. I think over the longer trip, like in the Grade Three race at Punchestown, when Spillane Star beat Blood Destiny. Now look, maybe it wasn't just down to stamina that led to him getting the better of him, but Blood Destiny looked the likely winner. He traded at 1.03, I think, or 1.0 something in running. And Spillane Star, as you see, they just stayed on the far side, got the better of him. That was 2.5 miles. And Spillane Star, I think the last day at Navan, the...
Can I ask you how much do you put into the weights in a race like this? The weights have been pivotal in their battle, and particularly on this ground, is it a big factor for you?
Not really, no. No, not really. Like, you know, we're going to have another debate about weights, but no, I'm more into the form and how a race was run and the trip. I think the trip is important, all right. Like, the weights are a factor, all right, but I think they might be overplayed a little bit sometimes. Right. But that said, we'll come on to the Irish Grand National. I think the weights are a factor in that. But yeah, I just think that, like, it was a slow pace the last day, over 2 miles. Blood Destiny got the ideal toe into the race. Spillane Star made a mistake at the final fence as well, which probably accentuated the margin by which he was beaten. But I just think back over 2.5 miles, hopefully there'll be a stronger pace. Like, the sections tell us the pace the last day was slow. And the way that, as we saw there, the way that Spillane Star I think he outstayed Blood Destiny anywhere over 2.5 miles. That said, Blood Destiny won his beginner's chase over 2.5 miles, and he beat Hartwood in that. And Hartwood, Madonna, won the left hand chase impressively next time. So that's strong form. But I just think Spillane Star, this is probably optimal for him. 2.5 miles, soft ground. And yeah, he's a slightly bigger price than Blood Destiny. I would have him close with me. I'd probably have him in his favorite in front of Blood Destiny.
As we record this, he's 15-8 with Ladbrokes, and Ladbrokes are 7-4, as Don says. So a slight difference for Lance Shower, bidding to give Jimmy Mangan a grade one winner. And one thing you can say about JP McManus, Mark, he spreads his horse around, and this is just obviously massive for Jimmy Mangan. For me, the trip is going to be key to this. To decision as to who wins this race. I'm not really convinced that Blood Destiny is in love with a trip like this. He kind of just flattened out badly a couple of runs back when, you know, he, as Don says, he was short odds at Punchestown. And as well as that, we have a big pull in the weights here of 7 pounds.
Yeah, and to be honest, you've given my argument away anyway. It's trip rated completely, and I think Spillane Star will turn around with him. I think even last time, the way the race unfolded, as Don has pointed out, it's not going to help a horse of his nature. 2.5, even the clip we just watched of Spillane Star beating Blood Destiny at Punchestown, he didn't hit the line there on that occasion like a horse that was crying out for 2.5 in my book anyway. And if you look back through his pedigree, while he does have some siblings that have been okay at 1.25 and the flat, 1.5, you know, there's definitely speed influences there further down the dam side. And I'm not sold on him as an out-and-out 2.5 miler. But I actually think Tactical Move is probably a little bit overpriced from the same stable. Like a horse who's had taken very little racing. We haven't seen him too often, but the engine is there. You know he goes on testing ground. I'd be very keen to take on Blood Destiny. If the market was strong with Spillane Tower, that's where I'd roll. But if it was, you know, if there's any degree that it showed maybe was lacking a little bit of confidence in Spillane Tower, I think Tactical Move, he'll outrun his odds as well.
We'll give the lads chance later on just to mention if they've any fancies over the weekend prior to Monday at Ferry House. But we have some interviews now coming up. Yeah, we've the Irish National is nothing if not kind of an egalitarian race, because you get a nice kind of spread of trainers with winners of the race. And this year is quite interesting as well, because we've had... Tom Gibney win the race in, what was it, 2012. We've had kind of Dermot McLaughlin win the race a couple times in recent years. And we've had other trainers as well. We might actually get a line off one of the trainers that is in contention. This is Gavin Cromwell. Now, Gavin's had a very good run of it. Had a couple of winners at Cheltenham. A pair of siblings actually win at Cheltenham. He runs Yeah Man at Ferry House in the National.
Gavin, you're with Yeah Man. He was fantastic in Haydock when he won the long distance chase over there. He's gone up sufficiently now to get a run in the Boyle Sports Irish Grand National.
Yeah, listen, he was off a mark of 130. He's gone up 10 to 140.
And were you surprised with the manner of his victory in Haydock?
Listen, he won well. I'm not shocked. He wasn't sure about the ground. It was bottomless, heavy ground. He hadn't won on it before. He'd run okay, but I just wasn't sure about the extreme. Handled it well, so, yeah.
He grounded out well though, and he got a lovely lead up the straight as well. You probably couldn't have planned a race to go better for him.
Yeah, Sean gave him a great ride now. Cheek pieces on helped him travel better and jump better. So, yeah, it was good.
And did he ultimately always was he always the kind of horse that was always going to develop into an Irish National type of horse?
Yeah, from the day we bought him, we thought that that's, you know, he was going to be a staying chaser. And yeah, thankfully here we are. And all roads lead to the National at the moment.
And it's a race that's just kind of on your doorstep to an extent. What's your earliest memory of heading to Fairy House and National-wise?
Oh, listen, I was very young. It's we've been going there since we were kids, and I don't know what my earliest memory is, but it's certainly as a maybe a little bit bigger than a toddler, but been going there for years.
And great horses have won it, going back well before our time, and it's a race with a great tradition and a great history. And I suppose from your point of view, it's important to be a part of these races.
Yeah, and there's a huge pot as well, it'll be a fabulous race to win, and it's always great to have runners. I haven't been lucky enough to make the frame with anything yet, and sure, hopefully this year this fella might have a bit of luck.
There is no better, for certainly little better anyway, than a trip to a yards. Very briefly, Mark, I've made this point a million times. If you want to promote racing, you send buckets load of school kids just to racing yards to meet horses. Half of them, or three quarters of them, or all of them will fall in love.
Aye, look, there is something about it. What they say, the outside of a horse is good for the inside of a man. It's absolutely true. And I was encouraged to see the other day that HRI brought, I think, up to 300 students to Dundalk, met Dalton's Dahl and Aidan McGuinness there, got a demonstration from them, I suppose, on what goes into training a horse. I think Keane McRedman might have been there. There was a farrier, there was the clerk of the course, or the track foreman. You know, there was lots, the simulator was there. I think the more you can get people to understand there's so much more to the game than simply trying to pick horse A over horse B, for all that is exciting to a level too. So you'll get them to learn about the intricacies of the whole thing, you know, it has to be hugely positive. So no, I'll be very with you, Johnny.
How did you enjoy the Aidan O'Brien jolly, actually, Don?
Ah, great. Look, Johnny, to go down to Aidan O'Brien's, to go down to Ballydoyle, every time you go in the gates of Ballydoyle, it's just such a, I don't know, it's a kind of a serene feeling. But no, it was brilliant. I had to do my research beforehand, mind you, in the middle of the National Hunt season to go down and see the Aidan O'Brien horse. Yeah, no, I look.
Aidan is able to name everyone one by one by one by one, rider and horse, and you had to do research.
There you go. and you go, you kind of go, how do you know? And he says, they're like humans. You know, it's like you recognize a human coming towards you, you recognize the horse coming towards you. And I'm like, that's a brown horse. There's another brown horse. Yeah, I know. No, it's what a privilege to get in there and see those horses. Yeah, it really does whet your appetite for the flat season ahead.
Before all of that, we have the Irish National. Martin Brassel is another quiet genius of the game, and he has a very interesting runner in a horse who knows how to win Nationals. That's Desert Moor House.
And it's Desert Moor House in the lead and pulling away to win another National for Ricky Doyle and Martin Brassel.
Desert Moor House is honest as the day is long, and it was a great performance to win the Kerry National in Listowel.
It was, yeah. I put him in as an afterthought when he won his handicap in Kilbeggan, which was his second win over fences there. And I thought if Hewick didn't run in the Kerry National, that it might allow a horse sort of in the mid-130s to get into the race. And he just got in on the morning of the race. Actually, he was a reserve, and Gordon Elliott had two taken out on the day, and worked out well. It was a great experience now for him, because, like, I know he won a handicap in Kilbeggan, but it was a proper run handicap in Listowel, and he was always in the first seven or eight there and jumped exceptionally well and stayed well.
And that's exactly what you need to win over 3 miles, five around Fairy House for the Irish National. But you know what it takes, because you've done it in the past. Tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, number 6 Valverde won it in 2005. And like Desert Moor House, he was a novice as well. So he had won a Tiestas Chase, and he'd won his first handicap at Navan in early December. So some of those horses, when they come from hurdling, they can be very good or need a bit of education, but both of those were just naturally good jumpers and adapted really well to fences. And so I'm hoping the same might apply to Desert Moor House in Fairy House if we get nice ground.
And it's interesting, as you say, they were both novices, but they're both nine-year-olds as well. Number six was nine when he won the Irish National as well.
He was, yeah. He didn't run over fences till he was eight. And this fella the same. So they're well mature and not over-raced, really, over hurdles as well, because Desert Moor House was almost at the end of his six-year-old career when he won his first point-to-point, first time out. And luckily for me, he was bought off an online sale for John Redding to ride in bumpers. And he had some great spins in him. And then when he was ready to go jumping, he decided to sell him. And luckily for me, I had Bernard Carroll and his friend Tony Vaughan to take the horse, and should have had nothing but good luck with him.
And it'd be wonderful to win another Irish National. Martin, of, you know, of all the great races in the Irish calendar, the Irish National's right up there among the very
top.
It
is. It's a great race. It is, yeah. It's a real traditional race, you know, around Easter time. It's the race everyone wants to go and see as well. It's really, it's the first time. I suppose for Fairy House, it's the real crowd puller, you know. So it is. It's great. Great to be taking part in those races.
And as you say yourself, like, you know, I think it's 22 fences to be jumped over the 3 miles five. I mean, it takes a fair bit of getting. So it's interesting to see how novices have such a good record in the race.
It is, really, yeah. But like, stamina isn't a problem with Desert Moor House. Like, he was placed over 3 miles, won over 3 miles. And I think the further he goes, the better he'll be.
Yeah, that was the master trainer, Martin Brassel, who has an interesting runner. We've one more interview for you, and before you get to hear from the two lads, I met Tom Gibney. I went into my local to watch Dundalk of a Wednesday there, maybe a couple of months ago, and like, it's a quite local in Dublin. And who was there only? Tom Gibney. And I was like, Tom, what are you doing here? And he probably said, probably like, Johnny, what are you doing here? But anyway, it turned out he'd come back from the airport, because his horse, this new French horse he was talking about that was supposed to run, it was in one of the English tracks anyway, and the race meet had been called off that morning. He had to come back to Dublin for, I think, his daughter's birthday. And we had a good chat about racing. Didn't really know much about this horse. This horse, as it turned out, isn't too bad. Yeah, we're now joined by Tom Gibney, who's actually 12 years now since you trained the winner, Lena Barney, of the race. Do you remember what that was like, Tom?
Oh, I do. I do. I remember it very clearly, Johnny. It was brilliant. It was actually quite surreal when it happened. But it was particularly exaggerated for us at the time, because we were literally training five or six horses at the time, and to go there just to be having a runner in it was a great buzz. Never mind actually winning.
I remember meeting you randomly then after you were supposed to have a runner in England. You were talking about this intense raffles, and the race meeting was called off anyway. So he ended up going to Fairy House twice since. He's won well since. We'll talk about his chance shortly, but how did the Muneer and Swade's relationship start in the first place?
They were interested in buying a horse out of the yard, and that is how I came into contact with them. That was last February, and Simon rang me out of the blue. Must have been 7 months later, to say he had kept an eye on us and liked what he saw, and would we be interested in training one for them?
It's just must be such a massive boost to a relatively small yard when you get that sort of a call.
Oh, it was huge. Yeah, absolutely huge. You know, they're high profile, prominent owners, and so it kind of puts you out there, you know, more than, let's say, their regular people who would be familiar with us, you know.
How do you assess the horse's chance now, Tom? Because, like, I was there the day he beat Where It All Began. He was very good. The last day, you know, you're winning by 43 lengths, but obviously the ground is exaggerating things. He's gotten a hike by the handicapper since. You've trained a winner of the race, different type of horse. So how do you assess where he fits in terms of the handicap now?
I suppose, I don't know. We were kind of, as it happened, we were pleased at the time because we were like, okay, we're guaranteed to get into the national. So that was the kind of the bonus of getting such a huge hike. But as it's turned out, the race has actually cut up quite a lot. And it's hard to believe, but he would have got in anyway without winning the last day. But sure, who was to know that? So we are just hoping, because he's a young horse and it is only his third run of the season, we're over here anyway, that you know that he's still improving and that, yeah, that he is still ahead of the handicapper.
What's the jockey situation so without Daryl Jacob?
JJ Slevin rides. JJ's rode quite a bit for the lads. So they were keen to secure him, and they did.
And he's won the race before.
Yeah, sure. JJ's riding really well. He's had a couple of great seasons there recently and riding big winners, so should be no bother to him.
What do you make of his chance then, and how will he cope with the ground? Because he's, well, I guess he's the one horse in the race that you can say this isn't, ain't going to be a problem for him.
I know, sure, here. I couldn't believe her luck when the weather was staying so poor. Everybody else around you is giving out like mad about it, and I'm delighted. Only because, yeah, we know he handles it. I don't know what he's like on better ground, but I know he handles bad ground well.
He's only six as well, and like you must be looking forward to the future with him regardless.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. 100%. I said in an interview a few days ago, like I didn't envisage we'd be competing in a national this year with him. I hope he goes well and he can, you know, run to the level of ability that he has and show what he has, you know. And once he does that, I feel like I've my job done. And if he's good enough, brilliant. But like that, he's only six, and yeah, I'm hoping that he will be a better horse next year.
Would you put people off a few quid in each way?
No, God no. You know, we do fancy him. Like he has, you know, he ticks an awful lot of boxes, and you know, things seem to be falling into place nicely for him. So, you know, with a bit of good luck, who knows? He has every chance. I wouldn't swap him for anyone anyway, that's for sure.
Love to hear that. And anything else over the weekend as well to look out for?
Well, a few running beforehand, so I'm kind of... I've had two horses disappointed hugely in Cork last week, so that was a bit worrying, and they scoped poorly afterwards as well. So, well, that was very worrying, but we've scoped a few horses since then, and they seem okay. And... Intense Raffles being one of them, so we'll see how the horses run beforehand. I'm hoping they run well to kind of boost the form of the yard.
Thanks a million for your time.
No worries, Johnny.
So what do you make of Intense Raffles chanced on in the feature on Monday?
I think he has a massive chance, Johnny. He stepped up in trip when he won the first day for Martin Brazel. For Tom Gibney, he won really impressively. And then he stepped up and tripped, went back to Ferry House, jumped the fence as well. It was a four-horse race, but it turned into a three-horse race quite quickly that he won. But he won really impressively the way that he jumped. And Tom Gibney did say kind of beforehand that he wanted to go back there, step up and trip a little bit, see how he got on. We know that he handles soft ground well. The ground's in his favour. So, look, he's a really lightly raced horse. It's great that Simon Munier and Isaac Swade have a horse with Tom Gibney. You say he knows how to do this. He won it with Liam DeBarney back in 2012. Sprang a bit of a surprise that day. But this fella, he's different. He's 6 years old. Like Liam DeBarney, he had to win the 10 up chase or run well in the 10 up chase in order to get into the national. He was a novice as well. But Intense Raffles, like he's got a handicap mark of 140. You just don't know how good he could be. Like he could be way higher than that. He could
Isn't
be lower.
It mad that he would have gotten in without running the last day?
Well, yeah, there you are, 127. Yeah, isn't that mad? But like, he was the first horse on my Irish national list, but then I started betting on it. He was 10 to put him in 10 to 1 first. and then he's been kind of 8-1, 7-1. And we can have a chat about this, but the weights, to me, I think the nature of the race has changed in the last day since Gordon Elliott said that Farouk Dalen is probably going to go to Aintree. So we were looking at the weights going up by 6 pounds with Farouk Dalen carrying 11-12, but now it looks like they're going to go up by 11 pounds. And that brings all the Arthur Dark, Yeah Man, all those horses that would have been on your shortlist, it brings them all up to kind of 11-4. I think Arthur Dark was 11-1, Intense Draft was 11-4. And that's a high weight for an Irish National. I think only four horses since Flash and Steel have carried more than 10-13 to victory.
It's an incredible stat in terms of, yeah.
And those four horses, they were like Comanche Court has won, I Maximus, a Drinmore Chase winner.
Our Duke, I think, as well.
And one other, Bobby Joe, the Grand National winner. So it's an arduous task. Now, look, the nature of the race this year, because maybe all the contenders are up around that level, maybe. But I think if you can find one down a wee bit lower, that could be the key to it. But no, Intense Raffles, to me, he has to be a big player. But I think he's priced up around about right now at about 7-1.
Okay, we're going to go through some of the runners visually as well, as hearing from Mark Boylan. It's open, Mark.
Yeah, and I wouldn't have a lot to knock Intense Raffles other than the price. I just think there's not a lot of juice in it, and it is an open race for all that. We've maybe seen other Irish Nationals with greater levels of quality, but I'm going to have a few swings against the field, probably Johnny as well, try and approach it. The one I like is Churchstone Warrior of Jonathan Sweeney's. Jonathan, he runs kind of a select operation. You don't see his horses running all that often, but what he does run is tends to be meaningful. I think he has had four winners this season, which would be as many as he would have had in the season, I think, in Ireland. But he would have a 20% strike rate nearly every year. So I'd be the trainer I have time for. And this is a horse that you get the impression the way he's been campaigned, you know, now rated 147. I just think there could be more to come from him. Here you see him against Manor Mission last season at Navan. And obviously Manor Mission, a big player in the National Aintree. He went so close at Newbury and the Old Hennessy as well. I think his form stacks up. You know, he's been banging heads with Gaird de Medina in the Grade 1 last season as well. You know, the Devil's Coachman in a beginner's chase at Galway as well. He was second to him. And he was a smart hurdler before that too. So I just think there's a lot to like about him. I take Don's point on board about the way it's going to go. That's not ideal. But ground, I suppose, your query with him. And he has had a quiet year this year. But I just have a lot of faith in the man training him. I think 25-1 is a big price. And I throw another one into the mix as well. A horse we gave a mention at a big price in the Tiestes as well. Max Charm for Colin Murphy. Now, look, Colin has been quiet. I don't think he's had a winner since July, but he's only had 40 runners or so. So it wouldn't be crazy, crazy alarm and stuff. And he has had horses run well. But this fella, I thought he ran big in the Tiestes after probably a little mistake at the wrong time. And I would have liked to see him show a bit better at Nace last time. But in hindsight, it seems to be maybe they turned him out a little quickly. But this sort of ground, this horse, he won the card last year on testing ground at Fairy House on National Day. He really, really relishes a slog. And I could see him running really well. He's a big price as well, 25-1. And if you want to want a very big price as well, you're going to have to forgive a run. But Cool Survivor was a horse that I gave time to win a big handicap at some stage. He was an eye catcher, I thought, in the Leopardstown Chase behind Hartwood of Henry de Bromhead's. And I thought that his run to Kim Muir was absolutely atrocious. But you can look back a couple of years ago at Frontal Assault, who was very, very much fancied for Kim Muir. Bombed out, pulled up, and came here and rattled the crossbar, nearly won an Irish National. He was second, same connections, Jingastown, Gordon Elliott. He's 40-1, Cool Survivor. But for me, in a race as open as that, I do like Intense Raffles. I can see the case with a Nick Rocket, but I just thought they were my three against the field. If one clicked or got your place, you're laughing.
Cool Survivor, yeah, I really don't know what to make of him, because I thought he'd have done better over fence at this stage. We'll go back to you, Don, on the likely favourite in the race, Nick Rocket. Will it be a case of us just saying on Monday evening, this was obvious, Willie Mullins novice in the race, a likely race, is really, you know, his form ties in with Corbett's Cross. He possibly could have won at Navan the last day. What's not to like?
Nothing not to like, Johnny. Not an awful lot. Yeah, he's a top-class novice. He's been competing in all those novices races and beating Tactical Move. At Fairy House, so he's got form at the track, winning form at the track, and look, he's got the profile, hasn't he? An unexposed novice, got a mark of 146. He's got the potential to be way better than that. He's only 7, so loads of potential to improve. He stays well, stays 3 miles well anyway, and shapes like he'll get further. So all of that, I suppose the negatives are his price, which he's very, very short, and his weight. Like if the weight's too low, 11 pounds, he's gonna have 11-10. Going to have 11-10. Like that's a big ask in an Irish National at that price. I can see him probably drifting once the once the race gets framed. I do like the two Gavin Cromwell horse, like the three.
Yeah, we have Heart or Dark here, Don, actually, and this ties in with you know, we've had some movement from both Tom Gibney and John McConnell, Derry Kieran's horses, to Gavin Cromwell. So there's obviously, I guess Tom Gibney knows this lad well as well.
He does, yeah. Well, he won his maiden hurdle for Tom Gibney at Wexford. He's had two runs now for Gavin Cromwell. He's won both of them. He won well over 2.5 miles at Clonmel. And then that was his first run over a trip in excess of 3 miles. Mm. And he saw it out well. That was the Leinster National. He saw it out well. Like, he saw how well he stayed. So, and it was probably a career best performance over the longest trip over which he's ever competed. So that's all positive for the Irish National. Again, he's only 7. He got a £9 hike for that up to mark of 137. And of the three horses that we mentioned, the two Gavin Cromwell horses and Intense Raffles, he's the one who's got, he's slightly lower in the weights. So he's going to have, if they go up 11 pounds, he's got 10 stone 4 in the long handicap now, go up 11 pounds, that's what, 11-1. So it's close enough to where you want to be. He does have to prove that he can stay at 3.5 miles, but he did shape the last day. He saw out that trip well and comes into the race on a high, he handles soft ground as well. Yeah, man, a really interesting horse as well of Gavin Cromwell. Like, he, when he ran at Ascot over 3 miles on goodish ground, he did shape like a horse who'd be better over with a greater test of stamina. And he really got that test of stamina at Haydock the last day, like that. You can see it there. It's survival of the fittest only. And it was 3.5 miles as well, an extended 3.5 miles, 3 miles, 4.5 furlongs. And he saw that well on heavy ground. He's another 7-year-old. And, you know, he did shape at Ascot in those races, those two races, that he, as if he would be better with a greater test of stamina. He proved it the last day. And he's back here now. He's only £7 higher, but his Irish mark is £7 higher than the British mark, off which he won the Grand National Trial at Haydock. So he's a big player in the race. And I think We'll Have One is really interesting down the bottom of the weights, Willie Mullins' horse. He's only got 9-4 in the long handicap. This is him winning the Vective Stud handicap hurdle at Navan back in early December. And you can see by how much he's won, he's stayed on really well. He saw it, the 3-mile 1-furlong trip well. He's old enough now. He's 9. He was 8 just before Christmas when he won that. Obviously, he's 9 now. But he's really lightly raced over fences. He won after winning that. He went to the Grand National Trial of Punchestown. He was racing off a mark of 120. Paul Tanner, I think, got down to 10 stone 2 to ride him. And he looked a winner. He kicked on, looked to have the race in the bag. And he just seemed to tire. It was a funny kind of finish to the race, because Dunboyne, it looked like he was going to finish second or third in the race, and Dunboyne then just totally tired, didn't get over the final fence.
I tipped him at in the Tyeste, and he did the exact same thing. Well, he was nearly going to win, and then he just pulls up.
He does that, yeah. So you're backing to win or not finishing the places. But We'll Have One kind of did not as dramatically as Dunboyne, but he did tire. He just seemed to tire. So maybe, I don't know, that injection of pace that he and Dunboyne spurred each other on, and then they were spent by the time they got to the last. But look, Berdahl began set on well and won well. But I just thought We'll Have One shaped like a horse who was still a well handicapped horse. He got £3 for that to a mark of 123, and he's completely at the right end of the weights. If they go up 11 pounds, he's got 10 stone 1. I think the minimum weight is 10 stone, so he's just in above the floor weight for it. And while he's 9, he's only raced 4 times over fences, so he still has plenty more to give over fences. His chase mark is still £13 lower than his hurdles mark. Now, look, he may be a better hurdler than chaser, but that's a lot of leeway. Like, it's £13 of leeway. If he's going to be as good over fences as he is over hurdles, he's got £13 in hand. If he's going to be better, obviously, he's got more in hand. So I just think that, and he does stay. We saw him at Navan. He stayed on well up the hill on heavy ground to win that hurdle race after racing prominently from early. So I just think that, yeah, and I think when the weights go up, he'll come into it. I think he's about 14 to 1 or 16 to 1 now. I think he can go off a fair bit shorter than that.
Okay, let's have a look at my selection briefly here. Now, I made the case at Good Time Johnny was disgracefully handicapped by the British handicapper, who just came up with a figure, and based on his British mark was absolutely mad. Quite interesting, though, he started off in life at Fairy House over fences. And I'm just wondering when that happened. And this is the race that was that Corbett's Cross race back in December. And we'll have a look at him winning here at Cheltenham. But I do wonder, was this part of the plan? He didn't went to Fairy House. I went to Leopardstown. Didn't run too badly behind Hartwood. Wouldn't be the best jump in the world. And dare I say it, Mark Boylan, good publicity for racing and all of that. You know, the Tony Martin situation. It's nearly written in the Fairy House Stars.
Yeah, look at this horse. There's obviously a chance he is well handicapped. I haven't been wowed by him. Maybe that's the idea, that, you know, he is going to be one to progress when he gets into a handicap and up and trip like this. And I just thought that there was very little positive to take from what he showed last time. Even the intense raffles, the bike he got in the weights, I say that was a conundrum for the handicapper to a level two to try and work that out, because, you know, it's very hard to equate what he really achieved. Listen, a good time, Johnny. You're taking a swing that you're trusting in the power of Tony Martin, and you're trusting that this horse, who was able to win a pretemps this time last year off 142 in Britain, you're hoping that he can put it together off 10 pounds lower here. And I'm not going to laugh at anybody that makes that case, but I do think it's a big, big step forward. It's required for him to do that here in this company. And, you know, ground-wise, is he absolutely going to want it as testing as that? I'm not convinced, but listen, wouldn't shock me if he did show up there and run a big one, because he has an engine to this horse. But there's probably just a little bit too many variables in the air. I'd probably just have to let him, if he goes and wins, let him go and win.
Yeah, that's fair enough, Mark. I'm going to give him as my selection anyway. And although Don has kind of made a, you know, it's very important what he's talking about here in terms of the weight's gone up. I thought this horse would have a featherweight. That's not going to happen now anyway. But he has a lot of upside if he gets jumped together. I'm going to put Fuse the Raffles kind of as my, or I'm going to put Intense Raffles rather as my, shall we say, my saver in the race. Okay, Don, your Irish national selection.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with We'll Have One. I think he's a well-handicapped horse. He's going to be at the right end of the weights. He goes into the race in good form. He handles soft ground well. Willie Mullins trains him. What's not to like? But no, I'd agree with you on Intense Raffles. I wouldn't be surprised if I got Intense Raffles on side as well. But I think 7-1 is around about right. Hopefully he'll be a wee bit bigger on the day.
Okay, we're going to hear from the lads with their actual nap as well for the meeting. But before that, Mark Boylan, let's reiterate your selection in the Irish National.
Yeah, I'll have a go at Churchstone Warrior each way. I think he's big priced. And I think in this race, you know, you go back through the years, in recent years particularly, when you get testing ground, it can throw up huge prices. We all know Freewheel and Dylan, 150, Lord Larry at 40s. I know I am Maximus was shorter last year, but he beat, I think, a 33-1, a 28-1, and a 28-1. But, you know, this is not an easy race for punters all the time. So I'll take a chance at the price on Churchstone Warrior, just like his profile, and hope he can put it all together.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to seeing a horse run earlier on in the Monday. I'll talk about him very shortly. Just before that, I want to mention the Ladbrokes offer, which will help you. It's kind of a long weekend of competitive racing at Ferry House. You will get a matched fiver bet on the Irish National for Irish customers only. So that's a fiver. If you want a fiver each way, you effectively get the kind of each way part, or the place part of the race free. And there'll probably be an offer as well on the extra places, or certainly throughout the day as well. And it'll be needed. I said this for Cheltenham. This will be a Cheltenham like no other, really, in terms of how deep the ground is. Ferry House will be very, very testing as well. So keep an eye out for the first sort of couple of days and see what it's like. That notwithstanding, I'm going to give my selection as my for my nap in terms of the 3 days, and that is Bottler's Secret, who runs in the juvenile hurdle on the 2:40 on the Monday. There he is, Bottler's Secret. They decided to skip Cheltenham, probably for good reasons, really, for all that they didn't know at that stage Sergino wasn't going to run in the Triumph. I absolutely loved what this horse did at Nace, considering how green he was in stages, and he's a real behind the bridle type. It really hard to know how much is there, and a lot of what I'm saying here is speculation and circumstantial evidence and waffle, but sometimes a horse, you just watch him run and you're like, I just love him. I love what his trainer does with juveniles. Trained a very good juvenile to go on and win a grand and a champion hurdle down the line as well in Esport LA and Gavin Cromwell. So I do like this horse. Let's go over to you, Dom, for your nap of the weekend.
Yeah, look, it's good racing the whole weekend, Johnny. I'm looking forward to seeing Di Capo in the grade 2, 2.5 mile novices hurdle that's on Sunday. I thought he won well the last. They beat a good horse in Ashdale Bob. He always travelled like the most likely winner, and you can forgive him his run before that in the Ferroction hurdle when he was only just beaten by his stable companion, What's Up Darling. I just think he's a horse from him that could be more to come. But probably my strongest thought outside of the National is Balan Star. I just think that 2.5 miles is going to suit him. A more strongly run race will suit him. He handles soft ground well. He's got pretty much all those. If you were designing a race for him, it's close enough to this. Think this intermediate trip is his optimum. And yeah, it might not be Blood Destiny's optimum. So I think he can reverse place into Blood Destiny.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree with you there, Mark Boylan. You can read his good things and his thoughts in the Irish Field this weekend. But a more abbreviated version of that, Mark, your nap of the Ferry House Festival.
I'm really looking forward to seeing Comfort Zone in the €100,000 Raibo Handicap Hurdle on Saturday. He's an intriguing horse because the juvenile, he was quite smart. He beat Jazzy Matty in a maiden hurdle, and then he went on, actually, his graded hurdle at a Fairy House, back to the same scene of the crime. That was a hell of a run when you looked at, he was third to Lossie Mode, Zarek the Brave, and then behind further back was Risk Bell, and he goes and wins the finale at Chepstow. He wins a Triumph Trial, and just, he went missing then afterwards and came back at Champions Festival on the flash off the back of a big layoff, was well punted, and I thought he ran a screamer. He was second in the Premier Handicap there. Again, hasn't been seen since, but you're looking, he could do it off a layoff before a run to a high level. Jimmy McManus, he looks like he targets this race. He's won the last four runnings. There's only 12 runners in this for €100,000 handicap. I was slightly disappointed with the turnout, and this guy has just been one. He's only five. I've had him on my radar as one to win a big handicap like this. I think 2 miles, easing the ground, not going to be a problem to him. Coming from Joseph O'Brien's, where they go up that hill often enough, they're going to be sharp enough off a break, I'd like to think, as well. So comfort zone of huge interest to me. I look forward to him in the 5:05 on Saturday, the Ribo handicap hurdle.
I stand to be corrected on this, but I think Churchill is $5,000 higher than Walk in the Park if you want to send your mare to him. And Churchill is totally underappreciated, maybe under thought about in terms of a national hunt stallion. He gets fine big horses, a lot more straightforward than Walk in the Park. Maybe I'm on to something here. The lads have definitely been on to winners. Lads, thanks a million for your time.
Thanks, Johnny.
Thanks, Johnny.
Just a little message before we go. Do remember to gamble responsibly this weekend. You know, talking to punters over Cheltenham, some up, some down, but it's a long 4 days of Cheltenham. It's a long 3 days of Fairy House as well. So do gamble responsibly. That was On the Wire, and thanks a million to Ladbrokes, our sponsors. Enjoy Fairy House.
On the Wire, in association with Ladbrokes.